Hello, listeners. Well, it's another episode of the Don't Let's Chat Summer Roadshow, and I'll be honest with you, for the first time, I, Ben Berker, have no idea where we are. Just waiting for Phil to turn up, really, to fill me in. Oh, there he is!
Walk noise.
No, he's there now.
Now? I'm here, yeah.
Now. You weren't here before, but you're here
no,
now.
No, I know, I was over there. I'm pointing, yeah. And now I'm here.
Yeah.
And look where
I
we are,
Ben.
Look where we are.
We're obviously in the same location.
Yes, we are, but we weren't before. Anyway, look where we are. Look over there. What can you see?
I mean, it's some old scratchy film of a building, really.
That's right. It's the Book Tower, Ben.
What the sodding F is a book tower?
It's a TV show about books. You're selling your book. I thought we could go somewhere that had something to do with books.
Oh, what, my new book, Death, 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 Stereo, 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 available on benbakerbooks.org right now. It's a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
Yeah, unlike comics.
Oh, yeah. No, all right, so we've gone back to 1979 on some film, and oh, look, there's Tom Baker. Hello, Tom Baker. Go on, do the voice.
Hello, I'm Doctor Who.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Don't Let's Chat Summer Roadshow with Ben Baker and Tom Baker.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to the Don't Let's Chat Summer Roadshow with all the Bakers.
Yeah, Bakers only from here. Sorry, Bakers only. I can't do the voice. That's just Brian Blessed. It's awful. Mind you, it's never stopped John Coleshaw, has it?
No, indeed. I don't think anything could. So we are here. I am Ben Baker. That is Phil, not Baker.
Correct.
We are at the Book Tower for a very loose book-themed episode because I do have a new book out. It's all about pop music. So I'm very proud of the book. But obviously, this isn't just a big advert for me because if it was, well, I wouldn't have that idiot on for a start.
No, that's fair.
So we've got some book-based things. So our first book-based chart is very much in the wheelhouse of all of our listeners. Phil, what is it?
It is Amazon's top 10 best-selling Mr. Men books.
So I'm guessing, it, you know, obviously it'd be Mr. Bump, Mr. Tickle, Mr. Happy.
Let me stop you there, Ben. Let me stop you.
What?
It's not.
I don't understand.
No, neither do I. This chart confuses me, but we're doing it anyway because I found it now. That's how this works.
Okay, at 10.
At 10, Mr. Men, My Mummy.
I understand all these words separately.
Yep, so it's a book about...
Is this like My Giant with Billy Crystals?
No, yes, it's exactly like that. It's a story reminding you why mums are special.
And where do the Mr. Men come into it?
They're in the pictures.
I mean, do you remember when it was like, oh, Mr. Bump was having a bad day. His dad said, oh, don't forget to come home for your tea or your mum will be upset. No, none of the Mr. Men ever had family, it seemed.
Nope.
I assumed all the Mr. Men were, you know, post-uni kids. You know, independent, living free, but still making mistakes, you know, like, you know, falling over a lot and having to wear very white bandages.
I mean, that's mostly Mr. Bump you're thinking of, isn't it? That's mainly.
It is fairly targeted, it's true.
Now, Ben, just as a side note, yes. Do you know what they call Mr. Bump in, I think it's Norway?
Because I assume because Norway has a lot of cliffs, so it'd be Mr. Bump!
No, that is excellent, but no. He is called Hair Dumpy Dump.
Hair Dumpy Dump.
I like that.
Because I just
good.
Heard him. You know, it's kind of like...
It's very evocative.
Walking.
Yeah,
yeah, I could imagine him saying that, his walking rhythm. So more than I can imagine his mum.
Yeah.
I suppose, speaking of mummies, Mr. Bump, he's sort of a semi-mummy, because he's always wrapped in bandages, but not fully.
No, I think there's slightly more to the mummification process, so I don't recall a page of Mr. Bump where his brain was pulled out through his nostril and all of his internal organs removed and placed in canopic jars.
Well, let's see if that's at number 9.
No, number 9, the Mr. Men Pocket Library. So this is...
Is that like Pocket Millions?
No. Small cardboard books in a little box. You get 6. Mm. You get Mr. Funny, Mr. Strong, Mr. Bump, Mr. Nosy, Mr. Greedy, and Mr. Tickle.
That's a random selection, but I suppose, you know, you don't want all your big hitters in one...
Absolutely not, no.
One, you know.
You want to make sure that people are going to come back for more.
Yeah, you know, you do. Yeah. It's very much... I'm not saying Mr. Men is like crack cocaine, but
no,
definitely,
exactly,
you know,
like
you want to mix a little bit of Mr. Tickling with a Mr. Tepid.
Mr. Tickle, which you mix with Mr. Scouring Powder.
Yeah, and Mr. Vim.
Then you sell it to Mr. Child. That's what you do.
Mr. Happy is delighted.
Brackets dead.
And that's the end of that story, I believe.
That's exactly how it goes.
That's how that one goes. At 8!
Mr. Men Go to School.
No, they don't.
Now, hold on. Amazon can give you a preview of what's inside it, Ben.
Smashing. I'm looking forward to this. I'm not.
It's a story about little Miss Tiny going to school.
Little Miss Tiny, so presumably she's smaller than the other ones, but does that mean she's younger than the other ones?
Well, the only other person at the school gates, because she's there early, is little Miss Late, who's a whole term late, and then Mr. Muddle has put the wrong thing in his bag in it. Like, little Miss Sunshine is the teacher... Mr. Greedy is also there for some reason.
This is upsettingly mixing
There's a selection of Little Miss and Mr. Men present.
Mr. implies man.
Yeah. but what's confusing? What's confusing?
Swinging penis.
What's confusing? No.
Mr. Swinging Penis at number 7.
No. Some of them are teachers and some of them are kids. But there doesn't seem to be any delineation between which one's which, so I'm not on board with this.
This is like the Stanford Prison Experiment.
You mean outdated and not properly sourced, is that?
And ending in a lot of shanking.
Anyway.
7.
7. Mr. Men, Adventure with Superheroes. Now, the cover of this features Mr. Strong with a cape on.
What, a small chicken?
No.
Come on, that's good. That is quite good.
3 out of 10. I'll give it that much.
Yeah, no, I'll tell.
Mr. Bump with a cape on flying into a wall. Mr. Tool with a sort of a domino mask on.
I mean, if it was like Mr. Watchmen,
then
you know, I'd be appalled. It'd be awful. Who would be Dr. Manhattan in that situation?
I guess Mr. Daydream, possibly. Mr. Impossible. Mr. Impossible, that would be it, wouldn't it? He's even blue.
Right in. Who do you think the analogues for all the characters to Watchmen would be? Even though we all know that Rorschach would definitely be Mr. Bump. Because...
Yeah, remember that bit of Mr. Bump where he murders those dogs? You remember that?
Yeah, that's what's coming up at 6.
No.
Mr. Bump and the hideous dog murders.
No, at 6, Mr. Men, My Teacher.
I know full well that obviously Roger Hargreaves died and Adam Hargreaves took over, his son.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm guessing most of these are him. Because I remember, this is a proper deep cut reference, but many, many years ago, like 2006, I was on a radio program called Irk the Purists by Mike Scott.
Right.
And the idea was, he threw a dice. I was stood in front of a row in Woolworths, and then it was like, which CD it was. And I ended up picking up a Mr. Bump storybook. And it was read by Arthur Lowe. No, Douglas Blackwell.
Oh, God.
If you were to see Mr. Bump out walking down a street in your town, and if there happened to be something to bump into down that street, then you know what would happen, don't you?
I'm aware that there's all this very off Mr. Men, but it's upsettingly poor.
This is the BBV Productions era of Mr. Men.
If the next one is the Air Zone Solution, I'm... 5!
Mr. Men, My Daddy, a companion to the My Mummy book that was at number 10.
Dad's considerably more popular than Mum's by a placing of 5. 4!
4. Mr. Men Complete Collection Box Set. 25 books in this. I can't actually see from this which books are in it.
I don't know who these jerks are.
Oh, so it says there's 47 books in it. So there's more than 25. Look, I'm tired of talking about this collection of books. Can we move on?
To three!
Mr. Men, my complete collection box set with 48 books in it.
What? 48 books?
This one's green. It's got 48 in it now. It's one more. 30 what? Quid to you.
This isn't like, you know, when people go out and buy the Harry Potter box set knowing there's one at the cinema. You know it's incomplete. At no point did I, you know, Roger Hargreaves have the great Mr. Men campaign of there will be the tomes of man, comma, Mr. equaling 48. No, we don't. It's just... And I assume, obviously, that 48 is just the ones that are single stories that don't actually, like...
Yeah.
Like all these other random... I'm a teacher now! I've not done the basic training, but sure, why not?
Indeed.
I'm not bitter.
No.
At two,
Mr. Grumpy nails fatherhood.
Right, I'm really glad you said fatherhood.
It gets worse. This one has a big red thing on the front that says, for grown-ups, so...
Can you see inside it? Is it, like a guide?
So the one page I can see, I'm just going to read it straight up. This is Mr. Grumpy. Mr. Grumpy is a dad. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Mr. Grumpy is no grumpy dad. Having three kids hasn't changed him at all. And yes, his daughter refuses to be seen in public with him, and he thinks Bay is some sort of herb. Do you know what? I'm not going to read anymore. I'm not going to read anymore.
Walk? I just walked this morning!
I'm not on board with that.
And you are a dad?
Yeah.
And yeah, even you'd be like, no.
I'm fairly grumpy.
Yeah, but at no point. I thought Bay was a herb! It's not, is it? That's bay leaf. You're an idiot. You're stupid. So leaf part gives it away.
I thought bay leaf was from London's Burning.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Come on, you kids. Why is your London's Burning trivia not up to speed? And at number one, the top Mr. Man book is Mr. Man on Fire, saved by the cast of London's Burning.
No, it is Little Miss Lucky is Getting Married. It's a grown-ups one again. It's one for grown-ups.
At least it's not Little Miss Married is Getting Lucky. Am I right, Lord?
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a page in here I can see, and I'm not going to read any of it because it's just stereotypical mothers wanting you to spend more on your wedding than you want to spend, which I don't. It's just, I don't.
Yeah, there was no point, you know, halfway through. I don't know, let's say, for example, Mr. Nosey, where he turned around and he goes, I never noticed how, you know, when you're on a bus, you sit next to someone. And you know what? It's always Mr. Uppity. No one needs your Mr. Manland situational comedy stand-up.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Which do you think of all of the characters of the Mr. Manoeuvre that you know would make the perfect Seinfeld style? Like, sitcom spin-off.
I could see Mr. Silly being like a Mitch Hedberg type. I could see that. That would work.
Yeah. With Mr. Sneeze maybe as the Kramer kind of...
That would work.
Yeah, that'd have it. And Mr. Clever's probably George.
Can we stop? Because someone will do this.
Please do. Please
no,
do that.
Don't
let it start on Twitter. Doesn't mean we have to read it, but you can do it.
I would like someone to do the politically correct Mr. Men, Ben. So, you know what? I can't even be bothered.
The Penguin Book of Farts.
A book of Danny DeVito's farts, Ben? Why would you do such a thing? Correct. See all the Mr. Men, the men who live there. It's Mr. Tide. It really is a pantomime. It really is a pantomime. So, Phil. Yes, Ben.
Do you like Dickens?
You are a child.
19 episodes. No, I of course mean Dickens, comma Charles.
Oh.
You know,
yeah.
From the Cheers titles.
No, I'm aware of his work.
So, that's a bit of holiday fun. I'm not sure whose holiday or indeed whose fun. I've got 10 facts about Charles Dickens.
Oh, have you?
But
But
I've replaced one of the words.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've gone back to this one. It, in a feature already been described as people as not as good as the other one. What is the wrong part of these facts?
Okay.
Number one, Charles Dickens was born on the 7th of February, 1812, in Pismouth.
Is it Portsmouth, Ben?
No, it was 1813. No, it was Portsmouth.
Yeah. Okay.
1813, or halfway through The Simpsons on Channel 4, of course. Number two, growing up, Dickens had a difficult childhood and was often in and out of your dad.
Right, so we're not going for the gradual escalation this time. We're starting with Pismouth.
It calms down a bit after this.
Does it really?
A strong start.
Does it really? Okay, because we've had Pismouth and in your dad so far. So we'll see. I'm going to say Borstal.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Okay. School?
Yes, it was school.
Right, okay.
Yes. Number three. During his time as a newspaper journalist, he would often send sketches to magazines and newspapers under the pseudonym Bez.
Well, I'm assuming it's not Bez, but I don't know what the hell it was. Was it Baz?
Oh, change it with another vowel.
Buzz?
No.
Biz?
No.
Boz?
Yes! Boz! Well done.
I was running out of vowels.
Number four. He famously wrote the books A Tale of Two Cities, David Copperfield, and A Muppet Christmas Carol.
Well, I mean, he did write A Muppet Christmas Carol, Ben. We've all seen the film.
Documentary.
He's present in it.
Where we all see he is a small purple creature.
Yeah. So we just remove the word Muppet from that one, right? That's...
Yeah.
You've broken the format.
Number five. Throughout his life, Dickens was fascinated by magic and the paratroopers.
Is it paranormal instead of paratroopers, Ben?
It was. Yeah. Originally it was Barry Norman, but I thought that might be too obvious.
Or paranorman, yeah.
Number six. Spruce Hill, Pennsylvania is home to a life-size bronze statue of Dickens and Little Plum.
I mean, I'm assuming it's not Little Plum, the Beano character, so it's Little something. Is it Little Nell?
It is Little Nell, yes.
There we go.
We'll of also accept Wilbus.
No, no one will accept your Wilbus. Move on.
It's not accepted anywhere.
No.
It's very much the anti-American Express. That'll do appallingly, sir.
Anyway.
Number seven.
Yep.
Dickens was working on a novel when he died called The Mystery of Edwin Collins.
It's Edwin Drood. I know that one.
It's originally Edwin Starr. And I thought, no, actually. The last line of The Mystery of Edwin Starr is, of course, whoa, what is he good for? And there was no...
And then he dies, yeah.
Eight. It is believed that Dickens suffered from OCD, obsessive compulsive dad baths.
Right, I'm not keen on this one, Ben. You are trivialising an actual condition with this one.
I don't know if it's him having, he's the dad having the baths, or whether he did bathing of dads.
No, I understand. It's disorder, Ben, but we both know it. Can we move on from this one?
Okay. Number nine. Charles Dickens had regular 12-mile walks to mull over plot lines. Characters depicted in early books were inspired by his walks in Hoxton, including The Artful Dodger, Fagin, Oliver Twist, Sam Weller, Greftus, Mr. Pigwang, Slimer, Sonic and Knuckles, TV Puppet Alf, Spider-Man 2, Some Vinegar, and Ghost Dad.
Right, so about half of that is
oh God.
Stream of consciousness Ben Bacon nonsense.
No, the correct answer was Hoxton, as of course his walks were in Clerkenwell.
You idiot.
Great. That's my Mr. Pigwang.
Slimer was the one where it was really became clear.
No, Slimer's in A Tale of Two Cities.
No, he's not.
He is in the version I've written.
Anyway.
And number 10, the final one. Dickens' books have never been out of the toilets.
Really? That's your big finale?
I'm very tired.
Okay.
Sorry, Dickie's books have now been out of your dad.
Yeah, using your dad again. Okay. Print, let's move on.
Print, go to 10. Right, dickhead. And I think what we've learnt more than anything else is no, that wasn't as good as the Nixon one.
And heaven knows I'm miserable now.
Right, well, it's time for the adult section of the books now. We've done the kids' stuff, and now it's time for dads. And bams, obviously, they are all suitable for this section, which is all about...
Oh, no.
Bad sex in fiction.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This big award that the Literary Review give out every year.
No, I know.
And it's basically the worst bits of prose in books that describe the act of...
sex. You just said sex a minute ago. You can say
it
again.
Doing it off.
Doing it off. Yeah. Okay,
so,
good.
You've got the 2018 winner there, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, what was it?
It was Katerina by James Frey.
Yeah?
It was presented by Kim Wilde to James Frey.
That's and do you have a small sample of that you might like to read out?
I mean, there's a... Right, hang on. Yeah, okay, fine. I'm hard and deep in... Nope, not saying that. Bathroom sink, her tight little... Nope. Thong on the floor, my... Nope, at my... Nope, no, and no. So in summary, no. To James Frey.
Well, you're worse. I'll read the 2017 winner.
Okay, you do
the
that.
Destroyers by Christopher Bolan. Here's an example. She covers her with her swimsuit. The skin along her arms and shoulders are different shades of tan, like water stains in a bathtub. Her face and not face are competing for my attention. Uh-huh. So I glance down at the billiard rack of my penis and testicles.
What?
Billiard rack?
I've seen a billiard rack. It does not look... Well, hang on. Either I'm very confused as to what a billiard rack looks like, or I need to see a doctor urgently. Either of those.
I mean, it certainly explains why we're throwing out the snooker centre last weekend. But the real reason that we were going for this list is the 2015 winner, which was List of the Lost by Morrissey.
Oh, no.
And I believe we have the audiobook. Version of that available.
God.
And it starts about now. Eliza and Ezra rolled into one, giggling snowball of full-figured copulation, like a roller coaster coil of sexually violent rotation, and the pain frenzy of his bulbous salutation. Goodbye.
So, was that read by Ken Corder? Is that...
Shut up, you bitch!
Yeah, I'm not reading any more of those. That's...
What? Well, we can't stop now. We've got a more show. We can't end. I haven't got anything else.
We have got something else. Well, we're here at the Book Tower.
Oh, yes, the Book Tower, 3rd of January 1979 to 16th of May 1989.
That's the one, and we both know all about the Book Tower and have seen it. That is true.
Yes, definitely have seen it.
And the most important thing about the Book Tower is it was presented by Tom Baker for a bit.
Yeah, unless it was presented by Stephen Moore, Alan Armstrong, Neil Innes, Roger McGough, Bernd Breslau, Nick Wilton, Margie Clark, Quincy Willis, or Timmy Malley.
Yeah. When it wasn't presented by any of them, it was Tom Baker. So
have you got a Tom Baker style list there?
Of course I have, Ben. What I've got for you is the top 10 best Tom Baker character names taken from IMDb.
So the 10th best Tom Baker character name, as voted for by Phil.
Mostly me. So number 10 is Sir Lionel Sweeting.
I am not familiar with that one.
So this is from a Screen 2 film called The Law Lord. I know nothing about it other than he's called Sir Lionel Sweeting in it. That is the main thing.
Oh, of course, The Law Lord. Number 9.
At number 9, we have got Pope Leo X, brackets uncredited, close brackets.
Uncredited. Wow.
So this is from a production called Luther. Not that one. It's from 1974, and it's about Martin Luther.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, that sounds fun.
Which in this is played by Stacey Keach, because that's who I think of when I think of Martin Luther.
Wow.
It's Stacey Keach. Yeah.
I'm fair play to him. Arrest for cocaine smuggling. Martin Luther, very much. Two sides of a very well-lived...
So yeah, this is quite all-star. You've got Patrick McGee in there, you've got Julian Glover, Judy Dench, Leonard Rossiter, Morris Denham. It's, yeah, so you know...
The 74, yeah, that's a right old mix, isn't it?
Yeah. And an uncredited Tom Baker. So there
as
you go.
The Pope.
Yeah, the best Pope.
I mean, a lot of people would probably happily have Pope Tom Baker first.
Yeah.
Although I have reason to believe he is not a virgin.
I don't know what's given you that impression.
Pope Leo X's putting his
yes in. Now. They're well done. Good.
Eight.
Captain Redbeard Rum from
Blackadder 2.
Two.
From Blackadder 2. Yeah, and I think, actually, that might be the first thing I can remember seeing Tom Baker in, where it was like, who's he?
Yeah.
I was born at the very end of 1980, so me and Tom weren't really acquaintances doctor-wise for a long time.
That's fair.
Unfortunately, me and Colin Baker were.
Never mind.
Seven.
Mark Ambient.
Oh, that's a nice...
It's good,
isn't it? Hello, I'm Mark Ambient.
So this is from...
Everyone just chills out.
This is an adaptation of a Henry James story.
Okay.
Called The Author of Beltraffio.
And I imagine because we're in the Book Tower, you've read that and you've got strident opinions on it.
No. No, I have not. I've not read any Henry James.
No.
Mark Ambient does appear to have been a real person, though, if that helps.
It's a good name.
It is, isn't it?
I mean, I'm assuming there's a scene in it where he falls asleep on, like, a cog, and someone comes in and goes, "That's the album!"
I mean, his real name was Harold Harley, but his pen name was Mark Ambient, so, you know, there you go.
So, Ian Orbital. Oh, Steve Underworld. Ken, Future Sound of London. Right, number 6.
Anatoly Blalock.
Oh, that sounds like he is a mildly racist crocodile.
No, he is from an episode of Remington Steele.
He was in Remington Steele?
He was in Remington Steele. Look, if Graham Chapman could be in Crazy Like a Fox, yeah. Tom Baker can be in Remington Steele.
5.
Z-Bad.
Oh, God, no! Why did you remind me of the Magic Roundabout animated film?
Look, did you go and see it at the cinema, Ben? Did you?
No, but when it came out, I was 24 years old.
I did.
You didn't even have kids then?
No, but I had a younger brother-in-law, so I'm guessing that's why. Oh, I can't remember. Man. I just remember going.
And Z-Bad is the baddie, obviously, of that one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the evil Zebedee, basically. So Ian McKellen plays Zebedee. Tom Baker plays Z-Bad, but he only plays him in the British version. Who do you think, Ben? Who do you think that when they redubbed this for America, who do you think?
Who's the American Tom Baker? Well, it's Paul McGann, obviously. No,
it's John Stewart, Ben. That's the equivalent to Tom Baker.
What?
Yeah, I want to go through a few more of these just while we're here, because some of these just beggar belief. So The train's voiced by Lee Evans in the British one, because, you know, that fits with the...
Manic.
Yeah. Who's the American Lee Evans, Ben? Bearing in mind that John Stewart's the American Tom Baker. It's Chevy Chase, Ben. Lee Evans, Chevy Chase. Those go together.
You know what? Do you know when you take your kids to an animated film and they say, wait, who's in the voice cast? Is Eric Stone Street in this one? Otherwise, I'm walking. No. It consistently baffles me why anyone cares.
Should we move on?
Yeah, number four.
Number four, Puddle Glum.
Oh, from The Silver Chair, which we have mentioned.
Which is probably the first thing I remember him from.
Yeah, probably. Was that the last one that the BBC did of the Narnia books?
Yeah, it was. We've talked about this before. Most people, when they adapt it, don't make it as far as The Silver Chair before giving up. The BBC got that far.
Neon Ballroom. Oh, sorry, number three!
Number three, Professor Plum in Cluedo.
Oh, no! I forgot they did a TV version of Cluedo. Oh,
they did.
So yes, in case anyone is too young to remember or too old and pissed to care, yes, there was a TV version of Cluedo where basically they acted out a scene and you had to guess who it was. But the weirdest thing is that they'd make the cast stand there at the start and they'd all get like, could it be, you know, Miss Scarlet? And then it'd do like a close zoom and they'd kind of do a mad vacant stare out the screen. And no one does mad vacant stares more than Tom Baker.
No. So he was season three, which was 1992.
So who did he take over from to begin with?
So yeah. Season one was Christopher Tabori, whose name I don't recognise. Season two was Ian Lavender of Private Pike fame. Season two was David McCallum of NCIS fame. That is what he's known for.
Obviously that is his best thing, yes.
And season four, the final season, was John Bird. So,
wow, Well, number two.
Number two, Sebastian J. Coote from Nelly Coote a Lot, which is a point-and-click adventure game. He's done a lot of video game work. Has Tom
Does
Baker
it? More? Has he really?
Yeah, well, he does because he does voice work. So I don't think he minds.
Oh yes,
but
yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised, but I just. Obviously, you know, he was so... At his peak, there wasn't a lot of narration in video games. Did you have other games you'd been in?
So the main one that I recall is a game called Hostile Waters, which was made by Rage, I think it was, which was a sort of half-strategy, half-shooty game that had him as the narrator and also had Paul Darrow and... I've forgotten her name. The other one from Blake 7, Glynis...
Barber.
Dennis Barber, yeah.
Sebastian Chick.
It's a good name. It's a good name.
I can't wait to see what's going to beat that at number one.
At number one, it's Lionel Nimrod. Of course it is, because this is us. From Lionel Nimrod's Inexplicable World, the first thing that Lee and Herring got to be themselves in, I think it's fair to say. Is that right?
On radio, yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. The pilot was actually done with them as characters. But... Yeah, it is, but basically, yes. Lee and Herring kind of doing a parody of those paranormal sci-fi shows. And obviously, the name Lionel Nimrod is not massively dissimilar to other sci-fi actors who might have been on their uppers a little bit in the early 90s.
I mean, it was mostly notable as the inventor of the interstellar laser ray gun toy, wasn't he, Ben? That's what I remember.
And you were Mackay from TV's Star Ark, of course.
Yeah. Mackay off of TV's off of Star series, Ark. Come on.
it's a brilliant series. Hopefully, BBC4X will give it another spin. I think they did just recently.
Hey,
so, if only the BBC had some sort of, you know, like, depository where all these, I'd call them sounds, could be heard and enjoyed by people.
Nope.
Just filled in with lime.
Yeah.
The inexplicable. The last unconquered kingdom. Since the dawn of time, every man has cowered in shame before that which he cannot comprehend. UFOs, the afterlife, the human subconscious, an elf. Come with me now into the swirling mists of human inadequacy. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. And of course, monsters.
And that suitably long-scarved ending brings us to the end credits. But yes, this has all been to promote the fact I have a new book out, which is why I've barely mentioned it. But if you'd like to go to benbakerbooks.org, you'll find the links there to buy Death, 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 Stereo, 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 which is all about sort of, it's kind of reviews, features, interesting music industry stories, and more personal pieces about my life, such as my guide to how to be a DJ and not go mad, the time I appeared in an actual music video, which people have seen, and yep. Even my guide to how to put on my funeral. It's true. Oh. It's true. There's also stuff about Frank Sidebottom, drinking songs, Irish pop, Tism, Madness, Kinnicky, Bowie, Beatles, and Wellerfant. So, you know.
Well, of course.
But I don't know what Wellerfant's funeral plans are going
to
be.
No, I need to talk to you about whatever you've put in that book, because I've just got written down here, dump in ditch and burn, so we probably need to update that.
I have basically said at the end of it, just throw me in the back and have a few cans. And so, until next time, I have been a saluting Bulbus.
And I have been Pope Puddleglum the 10th, brackets uncredited.
Goodbye!
Bye. The top 10 Tom Bester character. Tom. English is books. Too many books, too many words. Have you fallen over?
Symphony, even for monkey shaggers.